Good morning. It's time for Sunday school. There's lots of seats up front here for any of the children. Does anybody have a song you'd like to start singing with? Okay, let's start with number 40, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide, he will wash away my sin, let a little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me though I'm bad, and he waits to make me glad, waits to hold me in his arms, keeps me safe from every harm. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, when I'm very weak and ill, from his shining clothes on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Okay, let's ask the Lord's help. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the opportunity again for the Sunday school, the opportunity to tell forth the story of God's love and the salvation. We ask for help today as we would speak of these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody else have a song they'd like to sing? Yes. Number 13. Speaking about the man of sorrows. That's the Lord Jesus.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Shame and scoffing grew in
to tell you a story. The verse, the Sunday school verse in the paper this week was, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And that's in John 6:37. When I was in Malawi, out in one of the villages, there was this lady. And she had a baby, a newborn baby. And she didn't want that baby. So she went into what they call the chimbuzi. It's like an outhouse. And it's not like the outhouses we would have here. It's just a little hole in the ground, in the floor. And she took that baby and she stuffed it down that hole and put it right down into the toilet. And she left the baby there. Well, there was some people from the village. They heard the baby crying. And so they went to the village headman, and they went and got a group of men, and they tore down the structure and pulled up the lid and opened up the hole, and they took up the baby. That mother didn't want the baby. She cast the baby out. If you come to the Lord Jesus, He won't cast you out. Does anybody else have a song you'd like to sing? Yes. We'll sing the first and the last verse.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other count I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood.
We need to remember to make much of the blood of Christ. It is through the blood of Jesus that we are saved. Maybe we have time for one or two more. Someone else have a song you'd like to sing? Yes. Number 44.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay. Children
We said the verse this week was, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." I want to tell another story. There was back in World War II, the Navy had some fighter pilots, and they were taking off from the aircraft carrier, and there were six of these planes. They were now on a mission to look for enemy submarines. And as they flew around, it got dark, and they were ready to come back to their ship. But the captain had demanded that there be a blackout, and so all the lights on the ship were turned out. And the pilots, they couldn't find their home ship. And so they were on the radio calling, "Please turn the lights on so we can land our planes." But no, the captain had ordered the blackout. And they pleaded and pleaded, and finally the ship operator turned off the radio. The pilots lost contact. They could not find the ship, and they were all forced to crash their planes into the ocean. They all died. They were abandoned by the Navy. They were cast out. The Lord Jesus doesn't want to cast you out. They were not cared for the way that you and I care for our own bodies. If I am walking along the street and I stub my toe, "Oh, that hurts." And I limp along. And I hold on to my foot. My whole body feels it. And I take care of that toe because it hurts. We take care of our bodies. I need some help. Can I have some volunteers to help? I see two hands down here. Is that Joel and Abby? You can come up here, please. You can hold this tray for me. Just you hold one side and Abby can hold the other. And I have some pennies here. I have a dollar. I'm going to put the dollar on this tray. And uh-oh, we're losing some. That's not a dollar yet. Boy, that's $1 right there. Some of them got lost, but it's mostly a dollar. And when I carry that dollar around my pocket, it takes up a big space in my pocket, and I get a rash on my leg, and it's uncomfortable. And so I thought, well, maybe there's a better way to carry my dollar. And so I can go and I can get some nickels. And so I can put nickels in my pocket. And maybe that would help to carry a dollar around. And so this would be a better way. And we lose some of those too. So we have so many coins, but it's hard to keep track of a dollar. And so then we thought, well, maybe we can use some dimes. That's not as many coins. It's a little easier. And so that missed too. So we missed some of our coins. And so that's a difficult way to carry around a dollar. I have a question. Is there a better way for me to carry around a dollar? Yes. Oh, and a loony. Oh, it's a Canadian. I'm sorry. Very good. Or you can have a dollar bill. In America, we don't have loonies. We have $1 bills. Thank you, guys. We can put 100 of those pennies into $1. This is like 100 pennies. It's all combined into one. We can't take care of 100 pennies because they're getting lost. They make a lot of noise. They're hard to keep track of, and they irritate us sometimes. They can make a rash on our leg. And so I thought it would be better to carry a dollar, my $1 around in just a piece of money. And that's the way the body of Christ is. A dollar bill is a lot easier to take care of. But God created man. He created Adam and Eve. He put them into the garden, and there were two of them. But it wasn't long, and they were together. They were one. But it wasn't long before man sinned, and they were put out of the garden. And then came along the Tower of Babel. And at the Tower of Babel, they started to build a tower to try to get up to the creation where they wanted to worship the sun and the moon and the stars. And God said, I don't like that. And so he came down and he scattered the people all over the world. But that's not what God wants. God doesn't want everybody scattered all over the world. He wants them together. And so man today is scattered all over. And so God had a plan. I want to go to John chapter 17. And I want to read you a verse. And this is a prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed. And John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The prayer here is the Lord Jesus, he's praying for those who believe that they would be one. What did the Lord Jesus mean by that? He wanted to put us all together, like those 100 pennies come together into $1 bill. God wanted to put all the believers together into one, and he calls it one body. And God wanted us all to be together so we could give glory to God, so that the world may see and believe, and so that we can glorify God together as one. There are many people in this world, but we don't act like one body. There's many churches in this world. The body of Christ is not divided, but the testimony, the witness that the world will see. This says we want to be one to show the world. But what does the world see? They see scattered different things, different churches. And so we have also many people in this room today. Some of you are saved, but I'm afraid that maybe some of you are not saved. You are not part of that one body. Some people, they try to be good, but they can't. Your good cannot save you. You're lost, like those pennies and those coins on the floor. You're lost. It's easier to take care of those coins when they're together. And the Lord wants to put you together into one body. Sometimes people are hard to deal with. Just like these pennies, they're hard to control, take care of. Sometimes people are like that. But God took these people that were scattered around and he saved them and put them together in one body. But before you can be put into the body, you need to be saved. Before you can be saved, you need to be lost. And so God wants to save you because you are lost. Like those pennies on the floor, you're lost. And God wants to bring you back into his hands. He loves you. We sang about the man of sorrows. We sang about the blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus, he was in his heaven with God. But he left his heaven there. And he covered his glory. He became a man. And he went down into the world. He became a servant. He wanted to serve you. And he went to the cross. He knew that you were a sinner and that you could not get put into that one body unless you were saved. And so the Lord Jesus died on the cross. Why did the Lord Jesus die on the cross? Can you boys and girls, why did Jesus die on the cross? Caroline? To save us from our sins. Are you a sinner? Do you have sins? Does your mom and dad know that? The Lord Jesus knows that. And he knows that when you have your sins, you are separated from God. And if you don't get saved, you will need to go to a lost eternity in hell. So the Lord Jesus says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Peter cried when he was sinking in the water. He said, Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. You can be saved just by believing that the Lord Jesus died to take away your sins, and that his blood was shed and your sin was put away. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has saved many people and he's put them into the same body. And we see here in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, it says, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're baptized into one body. You know, I have lived for 6 years in Africa, in Malawi. There's a lot of black people there. And here in America, we have a lot of white people. And if you go to Afghanistan, you find that the Americans are killing the Afghanistans. And the Afghanistans are killing Americans. And there's fighting. And the same thing in Iraq. They're at war with one another. But when you find an Iraqi who knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and you find an American who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, they are part of that one body. They are together. God takes enemies and he puts them together. And they get along together. They're happy together. They're not fighting with one another because they are in the one body. And they take care. Just like when I stubbed my toe, I take care of my toe. And that's how God has put us into the one body. He wants us to take care of one another. And if you look in verse 25, we find that God does not want any schism in the body. That's division and fighting and arguing and irritating one another. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so, you see, when I hurt my toe, all my members suffer. My head, my hands, my whole body. Now I have to limp along because I've hurt my foot, my toe. And so, when one person is suffering, or sick, or injured, or hurt, or dies, oh, it hurts everybody. We feel that. But then when one person is rejoicing, why then everybody else can be happy with them too. And so the Lord wants all believers to care for one another in a way that you would care for your own body. God doesn't want you to care for one another the way the Navy cared for their pilots. They abandoned their pilots. I have a question. How many people are going to be in this body? Does anybody have an idea? How many people are going to be in this body? Well, let's look in Revelation chapter 5, and it tells us here how many people will be in that body. They're going to be all together into one. And Revelation 5, verse 11, says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Does anybody here know math? What is 10,000 times 10,000? Yes? No, it's a little more than that. Add three more zeros. That'd be 100 million. 100 million people. And then it says, plus thousands of thousands. So that's millions more people. There's going to be more than 100 million people in heaven. We can't count as many people are going to be there. Now, how does God take care of all those people? If you had 100 million pennies, how many dollars would that be? I have one of those. Well, let's see. I need help for somebody to read this for me.
What does that say? Say it real loud so people can hear it.
$1 million. Have you ever seen a $1 million bill? Oh, we're in Canada. I'm sorry. This is an American. It's a $1 million bill. God has put all these hundreds of millions of people into the church. And the church is his body. But let's look a little closer at this bill. It says, can you read this? This note is definitely not legal tender. What does that mean? What does that mean, Deb? It's a fake. Uh-oh. So I can't use this for buying things? No, it's a fake. Is this worth anything? No. Well, what happens to a person who sits here in the meeting and they've listened to the gospel and they close their ears? But you can say the verses. You know the answers to the questions. You go to Sunday school every week and you sing the nice hymns about Jesus, about the man of sorrows, about the blood of Christ. And you can sing these nice songs. But you're like this. You're a fake. What happens to you if you die as a fake? What happens if the Lord Jesus comes and you're a fake? I think I lost some more coins. But a fake is going to go to the lake of fire. It's going to be burned. I have some fire, if it works. Oh my, somebody gave this to me and they said this would work. Aha, fire. And God will take you and put you into the fire and you will be burned. You say, but I'd like to have $1 million. But what good is $1 million if it's a fake? What good is it to you if you sit here in the meeting day after week, week after week, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You will burn in the lake of fire. Is that what you want? Yow! That fire hurts. And if you are in hell, in fire, it's not going to be a nice thing. It's more than just a little burn on your finger. It's in your soul. God will give you a soul. You have a soul that will never die. and your soul will be burning in the lake of fire forever. All the good that you did was worthless. There was nothing in your life for God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's only the true believers that are going to be put into the body of Christ. I'd like to read a verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. We being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We being many are one bread. What does that mean? This morning, there's going to be a loaf of bread on the table. And there's many people will remember the Lord in his death. And they will take part of that bread and they will eat it. But what does that bread represent? Do you remember all the believers in the world, living in the world today, make up the body of Christ? And that loaf, that bread, is a symbol, an example of the body of Christ. What is this? What is this? She says it is an elephant. Is this an elephant? Some people say yes. It doesn't move. It looks like a piece of wood to me. But it looks like an elephant. It's an example of an elephant. It's a symbol of an elephant. Would you like to have this elephant? That's not a real elephant. But it's a picture of the elephant. And when we look at that bread on the table, we can see all the believers in the body of Christ. But it's not really people, it's bread. But it reminds us of all the believers are part of one body. God has given each of those believers a responsibility. And he wants us to care for one another. He wants us to practice according to the Word of God. He wants us to be a witness that there is one body. And we can worship together. We are a witness together. The body of Christ should be a witness to the world as we are gathered together on the ground that there is one body. That verse we had in John 17, the Lord Jesus says, I pray that for those that believe that they would be one, that they would be a testimony, a witness to the world, that the world may believe. And so God has put us together into one body. He wants you to care for one another. He wants you to care for each one in the body of Christ. Maybe it's your friend next to you and they're a believer. You need to care for them. We need to care for others too, but we're speaking specifically of believers. And God tells us that we need to love one another. We need to forgive one another and to be kind to one another. Help one another. Maybe somebody drops a hymn sheet on the floor. You can help them. You pick it up and give it to them. We can be kind to one another, and we can serve one another. At the lunch tables, we see that some of the young people are helping serving the others. We can do that for the Lord because we belong to the body of Christ, and we can serve one another. And then when somebody is sick, or somebody is injured, or somebody has died, we can comfort one another. And so the Bible tells us so many things that we can do for one another. And we need to care for one another. Like we read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, 26, to care for one another. And so we need to remember, it's not our body. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the believers living on the earth. It's not our body, it's the body of Christ. How many people would like to have $1 million? I have one for you. After the Sunday school, I'll put them on the chair. And if you want $1 million, you can come and you can have $1 million. But I want you to remember one thing. This $1 million is a fake. You can't do anything with it. But listen now. This is my last thought. You need to be, if you are not in the body of Christ, you need to be real. If you are a fake, if you are like this $1 million, you can't be in the body of Christ. You need to be real. And so every time you look at this, you need to say, am I real? You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Don't be a fake Christian. Be a real Christian. We have time to sing one more. Does somebody? Yes. Real loud. Number 11. Will your anchor hold? It will only hold if you are true, if you are real. It will not hold if you are a fake. Number 11. We'll sing the first and the last. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift Let's ask the Lord's help. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the time we had here together. We just give thanks for the body of Christ. And Father, we just ask that each one of the children, and all the older ones too, would understand that Jesus died for them because of their sins, and that they would confess their sins and ask the Lord Jesus to save them. Father, we just ask for help for each one, that they would come to know the Lord and to love the Lord and to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord and to care for one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I will put these $1 million bills on the chair here. You can each come and take one. But don't trip on the pennies. If you want to, you can pick them up and put them in this little basket.